No one has to point it out to me. I'm extraordinarily aware that because of the music this morning that the bar has been raised tremendously high, and there is only one place to go from here, and that is to go down. So I understand that. Thank y'all so much for the wonderful music this morning. And so what I will do is I will hide behind the scriptures. I want to invite you into a scripture reading that comes from the New Testament. It is Paul writing a letter to Timothy. It's going to be 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll start at verse 11 and continue through verse 14. This is a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Living Translation is where I'm reading from. But you do not have to follow that. You can follow your own favorite translation. But I want you to hear these words from 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse 11. "But you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, and which you have declared so well before many witnesses. And I charge you before God, who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus, who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey the command without wavering, and then no one can find fault with you from now until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, we do give you thanks for these words that not only you have spoken from Paul to Timothy, but the words that you are speaking now in our midst. Lord, we recognize that these words have the potential to come to life in our very own hearts and our very own souls. We recognize, O God, the importance and the power that these words can bring. And we pray and ask that as we meet together now, that you will truly, O God, speak into all of our lives. I thank you, O Lord, for the words that you have spoken into my heart. I pray and ask that as I preach this morning, that the words that I share, that they may be pleasing, that they will be acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus and the one who saves us. Amen. Not a conversation. It was just a conversation this past week with a pastor who reminded me. He says, "Eddie," he said, "do you know those words that Paul, those words of the preacher, is what Paul is beginning to be recognized. But do you know the words of this preacher, the Apostle Paul, that he writes in the opening letter to Corinthians?" And stopped for a minute, and I said, "Yeah, absolutely, I do remember those." Paul comes to the Corinthian church, and Paul describes this. This is not somebody else that's writing about him, but Paul describes this. He says that when he comes to the Corinthians, that he comes with fear, and he's trembling, and he also confesses to them, and he says that when I came to you, I was also weak. All of us probably know what that kind of fear feels like. When's the last time that you felt such tremendous fear that it made you start to shake? That you were so afraid that you were starting to shake? Our body is interesting there, because our body starts to respond to fear even before our head gets involved in it, and also before our mouths have a chance to catch up. And as Paul says, that when I came to you as Corinthians, I came with fear, I came with much trembling, I came in very much weakness, is this kind of response that our bodies, well, we have these three different responses that we respond to. We either fight, or we run away. Y'all know this, the fight or flight. That we either fight or we run away, or else we just stand still and we freeze in that moment. Paul stands in the midst of the Corinthians with a shaking and a trembling voice, and he says, you know, one of the things about it is he says, you have heard better sermons from better preachers before. He says, you've heard better arguments from more sophisticated teachers before. He says, you've heard people who are much more influential and persuasive than me. Now, this is his opening message. This is him coming right out of the gate. And he says, you've heard all of this from better people than I am. But Paul stands up with fear and trembling and shaking. Paul stands up to fight. And he becomes a one-sermon preacher. He says, because I have decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Paul will preach that same sermon over and over and over again. Paul will preach that very one sermon, Jesus Christ and him crucified, all throughout the Mediterranean world. And why does he do this? There's one word. It's because of faith. So that your faith, this is what it is, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, so that your faith of everyone who hears his preaching, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. You see the kind of faith that Paul experienced in his own life. Was it just enough that he would feel it? Was it just enough that he would learn it? But he had this desire. He had this expectation that this is the kind of faith that is going to go well beyond his own life, even the kind of faith that is going to go well beyond the Corinthians, but the kind of faith that is going to grow, that is going to flourish among people who are coming into a new life with God through Jesus, who has just been raised from the dead about 40 to 60 years ago as he is writing this letter. That is what Paul saw. That is what Paul expected, that this kind of faith would continue to grow, not only for him, not only for his closest companions, but that it would continue to spread throughout the world. It is the kind of faith that Paul will later describe as the good fight of faith, a call to action that Paul will give most explicitly to someone who was a whole lot younger than he was at the time. The person who had suddenly been caught up in this new generation of followers of Jesus, it's the guy that we have read from his letter this morning, it's the guy named Timothy. You see, Paul took the mission. He took that mission and that idea that Jesus gives at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew. Now, we have these stories about Jesus where Matthew and Mark, Luke, and John tell us about the good news. They tell us about the good news of Jesus. But in Matthew chapter 28, as Jesus begins to talk about his own death, as he begins to talk about being raised from the dead, he says, this is what I want you to do. He says, you that are here, you that are hearing these words, my disciples, as well as others, I want you to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Paul does this. Paul makes disciples. Now, of course, what he would do, and this is what the beginning of the letter to the Corinthians, this is what I was talking about. Of course, the Apostle Paul will do these things. He will preach, he will teach, he will pass on the faith, he will share the faith. But then, and this is the really interesting part about that mission that Jesus gives, then he'll coach people like Timothy. Then he'll mentor other people along the way as they grow to become disciples of Jesus. And then Timothy will begin to do that very same thing. Timothy would prepare. Timothy would study. He would grow. He would develop. Until one day he asked that question of God himself. And he says, God, what would you have with my life? God, what would you want me to do with my life? And Timothy discovers that he will become a preacher and a teacher, just like Paul. That Timothy, in fact, that as Paul has brought him into becoming a disciple, Timothy will bring others into becoming disciples of Jesus. Only thing is, and this is what's happening in our reading from this morning, the only thing is, it's getting harder and more difficult to be a leader. In fact, to be a mentor and a coach with so many competing ideas and philosophies. And not to mention that Timothy is quite young. And so in this call to leadership that Timothy discovers in his own life, he has his own moments of fear and trembling. One of the interesting things about all these letters that are in the New Testament is that we only have one side of them. We have what Paul is writing to Timothy. We have what Paul is writing to the Corinthians, but you know, we don't have what Timothy was writing to Paul. We don't have what the Corinthians have written to Paul, although people that are well-equipped biblical scholars try to reconstruct that in a sense to try to tease out some of those arguments there. But this morning, as we are here surrounded by these words that Paul is offering to Timothy, we don't know what might have been happening with Timothy, but we didn't know that just like all of us, he had his own moments of fear, had his own moments of trembling, his own moments about where is he going to turn next? What is he going to do now that God has placed this call in his life? What is he going to do? What's his response going to be? Is he going to flee? Is he going to run away? Is he going to fight? Is he going to stand there? Or is he just going to freeze? Paul encourages Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. You know, there's this really interesting moment that is captured in one of the other gospel writers, the Gospel of Luke, but this really interesting moment that's captured in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. As this verse of scripture that Luke gives us a picture of Jesus, Jesus says, this is my prayer for you. Now, Luke chapter 18, it's verse 1, Jesus is talking to his disciples. This is not a mountaintop Sermon on the Mount kind of preaching, but Jesus is there with his disciples. He's there with the 12 disciples, and he says, this is my prayer. This is the prayer that I have for you, that you do not lose heart. Imagine Jesus offering a prayer for his disciples that they will not lose heart in this world. Imagine even that. Jesus offering a prayer for each of us that we will not lose heart. You see, in the New Testament, we have at least two letters of Timothy, ones that are collected in our Bibles. And what we see is that Paul continuously encourages Timothy not to lose heart, to stand up in the midst of fear, to fight the good fight of faith. When everything in his body may be telling Timothy to run away or to freeze, Paul says, stand and fight. Paul says, fight that good fight of faith, the faith that leads to eternity. Fight that good fight of faith. And so what is that good fight of faith? What is that good fight of faith that we know so well, and maybe have never even really answered that question for ourselves? Well, the scriptures remind us that in all of our feelings, whether it's fear, whether it's anger, well, the scriptures will even remind us, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, to be you angry, but do not sin. That good fight of faith is doing just that. Standing up. It's not freezing. It's not running away. It's not sinning when you're so angry that you're caught up and you're shaking. The good fight of faith is feeling like our chains of fear. It's feeling like our chains of anger are beginning to fall off. In fact, the good fight of faith is determining to stand and not lose heart as we face whatever comes our way. It is fighting for faith in a world where it often seems impossible to see that faith as clearly as we may want to see it. A lot of times, faith is. It's fighting when we can't see the results. The writer of Hebrews reminds us, now faith is the assurance of things that are hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The good fight of faith knows that there may be chains that are holding us back. And yet the good fight of faith is the conviction of things that are not seen. Because we know that God's grace has truly overcome the world, and so we do stand and we fight. When fear and trembling and anger may seem to grab a hold of us and make us wonder against everything that is happening in our own bodies of how we should respond, the good fight of faith reminds us that there's an assurance and there's a conviction that comes through an assurance of a grace that has already overcome the world. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray and ask that as we stand in your midst, that you will equip us to fight that good fight of faith for whatever may come our way. Lord, already you have met us in this place, Lord, and we are grateful for that. And we pray and ask, Lord, that as we come before you, that whatever may be separating us from you, whatever may be separating us, oh God, from standing and fighting with that faith, that you, oh God, that you will make it fall away in this moment. We pray and we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Would you all stand, please, sing with us this morning.
Grace, unending love, amazing.